How's it?
Chris, how are you, man?
Hey, Miguel, how you doing, man?
I'm great, man. Thanks for your time.
No, thank you. No, I'm okay, man. It's a Friday night. We're having a good time. It's all good. It's all good. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking some time out, man. I am clearly living under a rock. I got to tell you this because, you know, they just called me up and they said, listen, Miguel's obviously coming to South Africa. You know, like, I was not aware. but don't take that in a bad light. Like, everyone else knew. But I'm very excited to hear these things. My first question really is, Miguel, is, you know, when artists like yourself decide on making, I call them pit stops around the world, you know, and you go and you obviously like see your fans and obviously perform. How do you decide on coming to a certain country?
I think, as a musician, you hope that your music takes you to new places. And you know, I've wanted to come to South Africa for so long, mostly just because I've had fans reach out from South Africa, you know, via, Twitter or, you know, whatever the social networking, premier social networking thing was at the time.
Yeah,
I've always heard from fans from South Africa, so it's really cool to finally be able to get out there and you know, do a few shows.
Is it safe to say that maybe the past 12 to 24 months have been the most hectic for you up to now? I mean, you've been doing this for a very long time.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely been kind of like, you know, gaining momentum, you know, as we've been releasing the music and been on tour for, like you said, for the past 24 months. So
yeah,
it's been a great learning experience and busy. But I suppose if you want to stay busy, if you're not busy, then there's something wrong, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, listen, yeah. I mean, like you said something earlier about, you know, coming through and meeting your fans. How important is that to you to connect with your fans? And I mean, it sounds like a stupid question, but a lot of artists have different ways on connecting, you know, with their fans. So you're going by social media, but I mean, how do you make sure you get that connection like solid and genuine and like, you know, relatable to your fans?
I think keeping the most important part of why art is, wow, the universal language. Mm. I mean, is pretty much the most important thing, I suppose. You know, it really is about finding some common denominator, and what really does bring us all together is the fact that we feel and we have emotion. That's what separates us from animals.
Yeah.
You know, that we're not making our decisions solely based on instinct. We actually have emotion and principles, so on and so forth behind it. And I think keeping that in mind in like a live setting or in my music just helps me stay honest and be in the moment. And I think the fans appreciate that when they come and see our show. It's a very dynamic show in that sense, in emotion. It's like, you know, there's moments where I'm very vulnerable. There's moments where I feel very powerful, where I'm very much in control of the room.
Yeah.
I mean, there's moments where it's all about, you know, a connection. It's all about this kind of like reciprocating energy, and it's all about the exchange, you know, and feeding off of each other's energy. We really do rock out, man, and keep it very honest.
Have you ever had quite a tough crowd? And then how do you deal with that type of thing? I mean, as a musician, as a performer, you must have had like a number of tough crowds. But I mean, how do you, you know, you get up on stage. I mean, I've presented in front of like thousands of people and stuff, and sometimes they just don't do anything. They just don't respond. And then like, you've got to, I mean, like that's obviously where you dig deep and you say to yourself, okay, listen, guys, this is how it's going to go down, you know, and then obviously, like, you turn things around, but with a tough crowd, I mean, what do you do?
I mean, absolutely every artist will tell you, has a story or two, you know, of playing a tough crowd. I think for me, it's been, like, corporate kind of things, like, where it's, like, a corporate event, and not necessarily always, but sometimes it's, like, a room full of just kind of, like, maybe they don't have the energy or whatever, but it is in those moments, it's just kind of be, like, I could care less what you're doing right now, because we're going to have fun up here and we're going to do what we're doing.
I mean, I'm sure everyone asks you this, but I mean, we want to know, like, when Adorn blew up the way it did, I mean, did you first of all expect it to be that huge? Like, did you expect that when you were recording and obviously, you know, like, you know, putting it out there?
No, I don't know. I don't know if I would say expect, man. I knew that the song was special, but
yeah,
I'll be honest with you, I had no clue on what it or how much it would connect or how far it would take us, you know, and how many new audiences that it would introduce us to. So it's been such an amazing experience watching it just kind of do just that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been a blessing.
Well, here's the second part of that question. When that happens, I mean, like a lot of people do different things. I mean, it was obviously, I mean, you got yourself a number of different awards for that particular song as well. But I mean, what do you do when you know, like, you've got this international number one hit and you're like, okay, do I call my mom first, or do I like open up a bottle of tequila and call over like my best mate, or so just in case, maybe in a week's time I release a number one single, I'd like to get some professional advice, you know?
I suppose you do a bit of all of that. You do call your mom, you do celebrate with your friends, you do all of that, you know. Yeah. And then you just kinda stand back and you just kind of appreciate it all. You know, I think that's the cool thing about music, man, is that you know, for me, it's all I ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
And being in this place and time for me has just been like, you know, dreams realized and goals reached. So it's like, it's cool to just kind of take a step back and just really reflect on what got me here and just kind of keep that to me, you know, let that be the main focus.
I've got one last question. You know, obviously, I mean, we're quite excited about again about you coming through and performing. But everyone was telling me, listen, yeah, Chris, like ask Miguel about his stage performances. Like, do you have anything planned for our for our leg of your tour?
I suppose that I would just say expect it to be unforgettable. Every show, I mean, every crowd is different, and so how we play the crowd is different. You know.
Yeah.
As well, it's all like a conversation, right, on stage. So, you know, it'll be very unique to every city that we play, and I just expect it to be unforgettable. You've never seen a show like ours. I promise you that.
Beautiful.
You've never seen a show like ours.
Beautiful. Well, listen, yeah, I'm not going to take more of your time. Thank you. We will see you soon. So I'll just come on over and just shake your hand and say, hey, Miguel, it's Chris. Do not act like you don't know me. Don't act like you don't know me.
No, I look forward to putting a face to the voice, man. I look forward to it.
Awesome stuff, man. We'll see you soon. Okay. Thanks, Miguel.
All right.
Have a good one.